Well, it is the first Sunday of the new year, and even though it seems like it's been here for a little while because it's the 7th, and we were last Sunday on New Year's Eve, but this is the first Sunday of this year that we get to be together. And I'm thanking God as I'm looking around, just appreciative of what God allows each of us to experience and the wonderful singing, the wonderful fellowship, and I'm just so very grateful. I will not try to depress you this morning, but I am going to preach a message entitled Passing Off the Scene, although I don't want to make anybody despondent, but we all are passing off the scene. And that's not a thought that should make you fear. That's not a thought that should make you worried. It's just a realistic thought that we are only here for a certain slice of time in this life. And so that means that in this new year, we ought to get started on what matters the most. And I trust that we'll be blessed from the message this morning. Deuteronomy chapter 34. Deuteronomy, not far into the Old Testament. Deuteronomy chapter 34. We'll look at verse 5. As you find your place in Deuteronomy chapter 34, I did hear this story of this couple. They had been dating for a while. Now, they were both older. He was a widower and she a widow. And so they'd seen much through life, but they were in love, and he was going to ask the question if she would marry him. But he wasn't as young as he used to be. He'd already had two knee replacements, and he didn't get around as good as he used to. And so he was afraid, but he was afraid of his health. But then he was also, as much as he was afraid of his knees, he was also very much a traditionalist. He said, well, I'm going to get down on one knee and ask her. So I'm going to let that pass. And his friend said, well, you don't have to do that. Your knees are bad and all that. He said, no, I'm going to do that. So he said, well, he had it all worked out, went out to eat, and he got down there on one knee, and he knelt down, and he said, I want to ask you two questions. She's like, oh, my goodness, it's me. She said, I want to ask you two questions. And so she said, yes, and go ahead. And he said, well, the first one, he says, will you marry me? And she, like a schoolgirl, just squealed and said, oh, yes, I will. Oh, and so she was so happy. She said, what's the second question? Would you help me up? So same question, just add a little extra to it. So in Deuteronomy chapter 34, verse 5, if we'd have read the first four verses, we'd have seen this, that Moses gets the view of the promised land. God says, come on up here. He says, come on up here to Mount Nebo and on the top of Mount Pisgah there. He got to look over all the stuff that the people of Israel, the people of God, were going to get to enjoy, but Moses was not going to go over. So now we're going to pick up at verse number 5. So Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in the land of Moab, according to the word of the Lord. And he buried him in a valley in the land of Moab over against Beth Peor, but no man knoweth of his sepulcher unto this day. And Moses was 120 years old when he died. His eye was not dim, nor his natural force abated, meaning he went out kicking, he went out strong. And the children of Israel wept for Moses in the plains of Moab 30 days, so the days of weeping and mourning for Moses were ended. And Joshua, the son of Nun, was full of the spirit of wisdom, for Moses had laid his hands upon him, and the children of Israel hearkened unto him, and he did as the Lord commanded Moses. You're in Deuteronomy. I'm going to ask you to look one last place in Joshua chapter 24, but save your place there in Deuteronomy, because that's where we'll come back to. But in the very next book in Joshua 24, we're going to see that young, vibrant leader, Joshua, was going to come to the same end that Moses did and that everybody did. In verse number 29 of Joshua 24, the Bible says, it came to pass, Joshua 24, 29, and it came to pass after these things that Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died, being 110 years old. And they buried him in the border of his inheritance in Timnath-Serah, which is in the Mount Ephraim on the north side of the hill of Gaash. And Israel served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders that overlived Joshua and which had known all the works of the Lord that he had done for Israel. I want to preach about this for just a little while, passing off the scene, and I trust that the Lord would help us. Father, bless us now is our prayer. Give us these moments to make us more like you want us to be, I pray. And we'll thank you for what you do in Jesus' name. Amen. Everybody is getting older. I don't know who the youngest in here. The Wolkings have their baby back there. Maybe that little one's the youngest. I'm not sure who the youngest is. But everybody's older than they've ever been before. I heard this story about this one couple that was getting ready for bed, and the fellow was getting there. He put his toupee, took it off, and put it on a little head there on this dresser. He took off a knee brace that he'd had on there, took off some compression socks to help with circulation, had an elbow brace for some other things, had a little belt here that kind of helped with a hernia, keep all things in place. And he told his wife, he says, "I feel like I'm putting more on the shelf than I'm putting into bed." Well, you may not be there yet, but all of us are getting older. We are passing off the scene. And so the story is in the first couple of verses there that Moses goes up to the top of Mount Nebo to view, but what he won't go into. But Joshua will live and lead, and eventually he passes on. But all of us are going that way. I'm told that the most visited vacation spot in the world is Walt Disney World in Florida. Walt Disney, the one that thought up of things and start Disneyland in California, he had come up with a concept of the environmental prototype and community of tomorrow, EPCOT, Epcot. And so one of their parks that they make is the Epcot Center, Epcot the Big Ball, Epcot Park. Well, he had this dream of this community that you rode on public transportation, a monorail. They grew all the plants over there and was self-sustaining, and they had all of the things that you would need. That community never developed, but it did turn into a park. But when Disney World opened in 1971, Walt Disney, the visionary that had the idea of it all, wasn't alive. He had died a few years earlier in 1966. His brother, who was his partner and implementer of all the things that Disney had the vision for, he lived just a couple more years after that park opened, the most visited spot in the world. My point in saying that is you and I may be thinking about doing something, and we may be having plans to do something, but your health and your body may not last until it gets there. Again, this isn't to make you depressed. This isn't to make you despondent about things. I'm just telling us that all of us are passing this way. How'd you take this position that Joshua had after Moses? And if you had been the person that followed Moses, it would have been a difficult position, because the Bible says in verse number 10, right after our text in Deuteronomy 34, and there arose not a prophet since in Israel like unto Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face. So you've got Joshua, he's coming up. He's the new, the up-and-comer. He's the one that's going to lead these people. But everybody is talking about, boy, you know the guy we used to have. He was quite a fella. But I want you to see what Joshua did in verse number 9 of this passage, and what I'd give you directions for as we look into this new year. First of all, I'm going to show you that Joshua followed the Lord. Joshua, the son of Nun, was full of spirit and wisdom, for Moses had laid his hands upon him. It goes on at the end. He says, and did as the Lord commanded Moses. The scripture says that Joshua was full of spirit and full of wisdom, the first part of verse number 9 there, and that he did all that God had commanded Moses. It was such that he led the Israelites in to possess that promised land, to do what God had shown Moses he was supposed to do. Adoniram Judson, the father of some modern mission agencies, went into Burma, current day Myanmar. And so his goal, as he went into this new territory, this new land that did not know the Lord of the Bible, his goal in his lifetime was to have the Bible translated into their native tongue, and to have 100 people going to church, 100 believers gathering together. He thought that would be a wonderful life's work in this new territory. When he died, when he left, there were, the Bible was translated, and they still use that. There's a friend of mine that goes over back and forth now, and they're still using the Judson Bible. He translated the Bible into that language, and then there were 100 churches started, and 8,000 attenders were gathering on any Lord's Day. He followed the Lord where no one else had been, and left a legacy for what God wanted to do. And as far as developing mission agencies, many folks today look back to what they had done. He was the first Baptist association that from the U.S. that had ever paid, at least in an organized fashion, for a mission work. But Joshua, back to our text, is one that followed the Lord. So the best thing that I can tell each of us, as we're launching into this new year, follow the Lord. You say, Pastor John, that's awful easy advice, but hard to do it. You better believe it, but follow the Lord. I want you to be back for next week. We have our Vision Sunday, but I want you to see that we'll unveil it some. But needless to say that this year we need to follow in the steps of Jesus Christ. You say, how am I supposed to know how he would walk? Well, he left it chronicled in the scriptures. I told our Sunday school class just a little bit ago that I was older than I should have been before I realized that Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, I grew up in church, but didn't know that they were all describing the same event and the same life of Jesus Christ. I didn't realize they were just different vantage points. But you can read in those gospels, maybe as I'm doing this first part of the year, and see them. You contrast how what one says, some events are listed in multiple ones, some in just one, but it all gives a viewpoint of the Lord Jesus Christ's life, and then we're able to look into that and see the steps that he trod and take those. So we ought to follow the Lord. The best thing that you can do, since we know that our time is short, you say, Pastor, are you trying to depress us? You're saying I don't have much time left. I'm saying that none of us have much time left, because this world is quickly moving along and our lives are slipping away from us, and we ought to do what God wants us to do. If you're a parent, then parent in the love of the Lord. If you're in married together, have that marriage in the glory of God. If you're a teacher, then teach. And if you're a worker, then work. But all that we need to do is follow God in what he gives us to do, as Joshua did all that the Lord had commanded Moses. He was full of spirit, and he was full of the spirit of wisdom. He followed the Lord. But not only do I see that, I want you to look, if you will, in verse number 10. And here's where we get into the sticky part. The Bible says, there arose not a prophet since in Israel like unto Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face. Number one, I suggest that we follow the Lord. But number two, don't let your ego get in the way. How would you like to be Joshua? He's done before he gets started. Because in the verse that before that says he followed the Lord, second one says, ain't nobody like the guy before him. Can you imagine coming to work? He didn't come into the office like you might come in the office, but if he did, can you imagine coming into the office to hear all the stories about the frogs and the locusts, and God did this, and God did this, and we walked over on dry land, and we did this, and we did this, and we did this, and Moses, well, God said it, there's nobody like him. Can you imagine the defeat that you could have if you weren't careful? I'm saying this morning that you ought to not let our ego get in the way of what slice of life God has opened up for you. When it comes down to it, am I doing what I'm doing? Am I raising my kids? Am I leading my business? Am I interacting with my family? Am I serving this church? Am I pastoring this church or singing or whatever? Am I doing it for my ego or for the Lord's glory? And you realize that we really figure out who we're doing it for when nobody notices what we do. Let me tell you how this plays out. Of course, we served in the church with a large Christian school. And it happens in Christian schools, happens in public schools, happens in all of them. There's a parent who he or she coaches, and that coach really works with their child and develops them and gets them maybe the best of the team. And then there's another parent who doesn't work as much with them, and they don't put the time in, the practice in, and all that. And their kid is not as good as the coach's kid. So what does that parent of the kid that's not quite as good as the coach's kid, what do? They don't say, well, I'm going to work harder and do better and do all this. Instead, oftentimes they just criticize the coach. Why? Because that's so much easier than hard work. Now, not always does it work out that way, but we've seen it, and you have as well. It's sometimes easier just to criticize than it is to get involved, because our ego gets in the way. I heard this quote long ago from a leadership expert, and he said this, it's amazing how much can get accomplished when you don't care who gets the credit. And that's true in your family, it's true in this church, it's true in your business, it's true in whatever endeavor you go in. If we would not care about who gets credit or who gets the accolades for something, we just want it to go forward for the glory of God. If you're in a church, for the betterment of your business and your employees, whoever it is. But if you can not care who gets the credit, then it's amazing what you can get accomplished. I'm thankful for every good and godly influence on the children that God has blessed us with. And I'm thankful if they look to me or they look to them or they look to somebody else. If they're a godly person who's going to direct them to the Lord, I say praise the Lord. But what happens is we let our egos get in the way, and Joshua would have been a prime candidate, because it would have been easy just to say, well, I can't ever do it like Moses did it. But he realized that the need was to take his little slice of life, serve in the capacity that God had ordained he do, and let reputations take care of themselves. You know it happens that way in your family, right? There's somebody who's got the gift of gab, and he or she will certainly tell everybody how to get it done. And then you got some thinker over here that cleans up all the messes that the mouth made. They say it, you fix it. Just take your role and be okay with it. And if we're not careful, we'll always criticize who we aren't, and we'll lift up who we are. But don't let our ego rule. I believe a very good application of this passage when he says that, or God says about Moses, there is nobody else like him. Still, Joshua served. And brings me to my third point. I'm looking back at Joshua chapter 24. Not only do you follow the Lord and not let your ego rule, but serve faithfully in your spot. The Bible says in verse number 29, we already read it once, it came to pass after these things that Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died. Verse number 31, Israel served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders that overlived Joshua and which had known all the works of the Lord that he had done for Israel. Faithfully serve in your little slice. I had the wonderful privilege to be the pastor of this church, and I preached this message just a couple hours ago to the first service, but Preacher Lassie wasn't in here. I said, but now he is, and I said, I have the wonderful privilege. We have a pastor emeritus, a pastor that pastored this thing for 46 years, almost a half a century, and then after him, Brother Jody Jenkins for 10 years after that, men that faithfully preached the word, faithfully counseled, faithfully served, and faithfully did all these things. You know what's easy to do? It's easy to compare myself and say, well, I can't do it like them, or easy to look down at somebody else, but I'm not in competition with either one of those men. You see, the Lord has ordained that we all reside in the little slice of life that you're currently residing. I don't have to be a preacher, lastly. I don't have to be anybody else. I just want to be God, who God wants me to be. Now, there are certain things that ought to govern all of our lives that are applicable to everybody. Some things we ought to do the same, and no matter whose life you are. But in other areas, every life is different. And you and I need to faithfully serve in the spot that God has put us in. We all know who Abraham Lincoln was. We all know who George Washington was. I told the first service that we all know who John Washington is, and somebody said, I don't know who that is. I said, well, his grandson, George, then. But I don't even know who John is. Nobody knows that. All of us know who George Washington is. All of us know who John F. Kennedy was. Even Teddy Roosevelt and different people. What about Benjamin Harrison? He was the 23rd president of the greatest nation in the face of the earth, we would believe. From 1888 to 1893, he was one that you don't really think about on that list of who's who, even down through the presidents. But you understand some of the greatest minds have occupied the seat in the Oval Office since there's been one, but even before then. Whether you've heard of them or not, they served in their spot. And the Christians of that day were under obligation from Scripture to pray for that man, just like we're commanded to pray for the one that we have, our leaders and our president. We know who those famous ones are. But anybody who presided in this country as president is significant. But the truth is, you may not remember that name of Harrison, or there's some others. But in that day, 1888 to 1893, every American would have known his name. And many people in the world, most people probably in the world, would have known his name. Every one of us wants to be the Abraham Lincoln or the well-known person. Everyone wants to make it big. But if you read the scriptures through, you'll find very little about trying to make your mark. But what you will find is the scripture saying that, moreover, it's required in stewards that a man be found faithful. God values faithfulness more than flashiness. God values your consistent walk with him more than the bright lights of something that flashes and then is no more. Can I read you something? Ted Koppel, he hosted Nightline from 1980 until 2005. When he was on his last broadcast, now this has been almost 20 years removed now, and so many people would not know his name. But let me tell you what he did, what he told the last broadcast. There's a quiz I sometimes give some of our young interns when they first arrive at Nightline. I didn't do it for the last batch. It was a little too close to home. He says, how many of you, as he's talking to his interns, if I ask, could tell me anything about Eric Severade? He said, blank stares. How about Howard K. Smith or Frank Reynolds? Not a twitch of recognition. Chet Huntley, John Chancellor, still nothing. David Brinkley would sometimes cause a hand to be raised, and Walter Cronkite would be glad to learn that a lot of young people still have some vague recollection that he worked in television news sometime. But what none of these young men and young women interns that I'm looking at and I ask them these questions, what none of these young men and women in their late teens and early 20s appreciate until I point it out to them, is that the names that they have just heard were seven anchormen or commentators who were once so famous that everyone in the country knew their names. Everybody. Now, you understand that today we don't get our news quite like we used to. Many people still watch the nightly news. I mean, back in my day, it was like the law of the Medes and the Persians. You know, get out of my dad's way. He's watching. If he's still working at 6, he's certainly going to catch it at 11, and you're going to watch that news. Not so much anymore. We've got so many news sources and internet and all that. But in this day, when this little speech was given, everybody who was serious about keeping up on what's going on in the world or in the nation were watching newscasts like this. And he said, everybody knew who these people were. The transition from one anchor to another is not a big deal. Cronkite begat Rather, Chancellor begat Brokaw, Reynolds begat Jennings, and each of them did a pretty fair job in his own right. You've always been nice to me, so give this new anchor team for Nightline a fair break. Now, that's a little glimpse into a couple decades ago when most all Americans got their news from the same source. And what that commentator, that anchor said, was that we're passing off the scene. He's still living, that fellow couple that made those statements. He's still living, so he's not dead. But he knew that his influence was going to pass away and somebody else was going to take it on. Now, to you as your pastor, I tell each of us that our slot, our slice of life, it's passing away as well. I, again, don't tell you that to depress. I've told you that 4 times now, I believe. I don't say that to depress you. I say that to encourage us to take this time that God has given us and serve the Lord with vigor. Raise your family, run your business, serve your neighbors, and help your friends, and do the things that God has put on your heart to do, because we may not have as much time as we think we do to get it done, and we ought to do it for the glory of the Lord. We ought to faithfully serve in our spot that God has given us. You only have a certain amount of time to spend. You may not get the recognition that you desire. You may not be the Moses who gets labeled as the greatest servant, and you may not go down in history as the greatest. You understand that Joshua probably had more military training, had more managerial skills than Moses did. But Moses walked with the Lord. And so you may not have that Moses ability, you may not have that Joshua ability, or you may be one or both of those. You know, we just came through Christmas. One of the greatest characters that I love to ponder on, of course, obviously the Lord, but as you look at all of them throughout the years, Joseph, a quiet stepdad that God used to help raise a king. There's very little said about Joseph. Religions will deify Mary sometimes, but rarely does anybody ever put much stock in Joseph. But he faithfully executed the little slice of life that God gave him. Now you bring it on down. I know there's stepfathers in this room. And their stepfathers are wonderful. Some of the dearest friends I have were raised at home with somebody. That if I didn't tell you they weren't their dad, you'd never know it. They've just taken that role to serve the Lord and serve their family. Maybe it's time we quit calling them steps and just call them that they're God, the people that God's given me. But my point being, whether your position is well known, that people shout it from the housetops, or it's that one that's in the dark recesses where nobody really knows. You remember how the Bible talks about the church as a body? There are some aspects that are more comely, meaning they're beautiful and they get to be seen. And there's some back there somewhere behind us underneath on the bottom floor back here by the boiler room. But those are all needful parts. So may we faithfully serve in the spot that God has given us, you and I. If you're here this morning and God's brought you here, brought you to a broadcast of it, couldn't you say, God, you've got me to this point. I want to faithfully serve you for as long as you give it. We sang earlier, I have decided to follow Jesus. Maybe somebody in this room this morning or listening, you need to decide today, I will follow the Lord. You say, Pastor John, why else would I be here if I wasn't following the Lord? I don't know. But if you've never done it or you've done it a dozen times, may you today in your heart decide, I will follow the Lord. People will look back at a generation or two ago, and they'll look back those decades and they'll say, what's happened to America? It used to be that churches were just full everywhere. I believe what's happened in great ways is that we've had some Christians that have failed to stand firm and say, I have decided to follow Jesus. We've got a shortage of men and ladies that would just make that commitment. I will serve the Lord as Joshua did later. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Say, Pastor, I'm the only one in my family that does it. There's been lots of examples of somebody just being the pioneer and doing it. You say, Pastor, I've had so many bad things happen to me. There's been so many other examples of people that overcome such tragedies and heartaches and heartbreaks. You say, Pastor, but if I did that, I'd go against every other aspect of the people that work with, that I work with, that I live with. That's all right. I have decided to follow Jesus. And if you're here this morning and that's you, I challenge you to make that commitment to the Lord. I've decided to follow Him. Follow the Lord. Don't let our egos get in the way and just serve your little slice. If it gets all the accolades that you think you ought to have, then whatever. If it doesn't get one hand clap at the end of what you do for the Lord, then remind yourself who you were doing it for anyway. I didn't do it for the praise of men. I did it for the Lord. May that be our cry. And then if you're here, one last item. If you're here, you're not saved. You're not sure that you're on your way to heaven. My friend, today is the day to forget about reputation, to forget about everything that you've known or you've thought or you've worried about. Today is the day to put your faith in Jesus Christ alone as your Savior. You say, but Pastor, I'm trying to do good. I've tried to turn that new leaf. I've tried to take a good step. I understand. But you'll never be successful in any of those things until you put your faith in Jesus Christ. Turn to Him as your only hope of heaven. Whatever your need is, I trust that you do business with the Lord. Would you pray with me? Father, thank you for this time to be in your house. Lord, I'm grateful for the little slice of time that you've given us today. I pray, dear Lord, that each and every person in this room would make a decision. I pray, dear Lord, that we would make a decision to follow you if we're saved. And then, Lord, I pray if somebody's unsaved, that they would decide today that they're going to turn to you for salvation, look to you. Whatever their need is, dear Lord, I pray they would do business with you. If you're able to, would you stand together with us as the ladies play something through? As they begin to play, if God's speaking to your heart, I invite you to come. I'm not going to name everything for you, but perhaps we've been trying to serve for the praise of men. My friend, it's time just to forget about all that and serve the good Lord Almighty. Maybe you're here and you need to make that decision. I've decided to follow Jesus. Whatever your need is, I pray that you do business with the Lord. Maybe you're here and you're not saved. Would you step out and come? Me or somebody will take a Bible and show you from it how you can go to heaven. You don't go to heaven by becoming a Baptist or by meeting the pastor or by signing a card or by being a good person. You could never be good enough. You go to heaven by Jesus Christ and through Him alone. I have decided to follow Jesus. Would you make that decision today?
Let's sing that first verse again. Just from your heart as a prayer to the Lord, tell Him, I have decided to follow You, Lord. If you haven't already, we want to help you. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back.
Amen. Thank you so much. You may look this way. What a joy to be in church this morning, the first Sunday of the new year. And may I just tell you that I think I mentioned last time on New Year's Eve, but Amy and I are praying for you as we go throughout this year. And we're so looking forward to what God has for us. If you're a guest with us today, please take that Connect card and take it to guest services. They've got a gift for you just for being our guest. And we only do that so we can connect with you. If you'd like to connect with us, you can also use that to update the staff or me or anybody on some prayer requests and things of that nature. So what a joy to be in church. Well, we're going to close in prayer, ask the Lord to bless us as we go. Amy and I will slip back to the back. Brother Marty, would you mind coming up and praying for our dismissal? And I'll be back at the lobby if we can be a blessing to you. We'll meet you there.
Let's pray. Father, we thank You for the challenges we heard today. Lord, I pray that You'll help us to follow You. I pray that You'll help us to find our place and to serve You, Lord, with our heart, Lord. I pray that You'll bless each one here today. Pray that You help us to bring us back tonight at our appointed time. We thank You for Your goodness and Your mercy. In Jesus' name, amen.